Going to be in Galatians chapter 5 to begin this evening. Galatians chapter 5, and while we're turning over there, I'll just kind of share a random thought. I don't know if you'd call it a freebie. You might end up charging me for it, but I guess I was thinking as we were singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. You know, we all just sang about a song where we're all saying that we yearn for prayer. Yearn for it. I mean, it was very, reading through that, it was really a heart check about how I feel about prayer as I'm singing these words. And when you think about prayer, it is, I mean, we have the Almighty God of the universe who is willing to listen to us and to help us. And He does, I mean, He offers us wisdom if that is what we're seeking Him for. He's offered His Son for us, and that's the whole reason that we can even reach out to Him. And anyways, it's just good to stop and think about the things that we sing every once in a while. Although sometimes it really hits you, and that's a good thing. But hopefully you're over at Galatians chapter 5 now, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. The other day, I was over at the house and I was moving a bag of soil. I was moving a bag of soil from the front yard to the backyard. And I'm not sure what happened, but I dropped the bag, and I don't know why, but when I did, this big old fat black widow spider ran out from under the bag right where my hands just were. That was unpleasant, to say the least. But you know, it's interesting. I can look back on that moment with a little bit of happiness, because you know, I can look at it like, well, you know, what if I got bit? That's a terrifying thing. But the thing is that I didn't, so I'm happy. Now, when you think about that, I was given another chance in the way. I don't think that my life was in danger or anything like that. That sounds kind of big, but you know, I'm given another chance. At least to be a little bit more careful the next time. Given another chance in that way. But, of course, you know, it doesn't have to affect me at all. I certainly don't have to be more careful the next time or whatever it may be. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, obviously on a huge level, the biggest level that we can imagine, Christians have been given a new chance. You know, you think about it, before we were Christians, before we put on Christ, we were just an accident away from being lost forever. That's terrifying to think about. That's horrifying to think about. But the thing is that we didn't. And so we can be joyful about that. We can be thankful for that. But how else should that thought affect our lives? That we could have been lost, but we haven't yet. Or we weren't. It should cause us to be determined to make the most of the chance that has been given us, to make the most of the life that has been given us. And through that, we should also make the most of the other chances that we receive in this life as well. And by that, I mean what we just read here in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh, the works of the Spirit. God is telling us through Paul, he gives us two lists here. And one of these things, he is saying, these things should not come from my people. They should not. My people who are living by the Spirit, these things are not of them. They've been crucified to their flesh. Then he gives this other list, the fruit of the Spirit. These things do come from my people. These things should come from my people who are living by my Spirit. And I bring all this to ask, have you stumbled with these things? I know I certainly have. You know, impatience, which is the opposite of patience, is one of the fruit of the Spirit, something that sticks out to me. Anger, something that sticks out to me. These are things that I have still stumbled with. But the wonderful thing is that because of Christ, because of the perfect sacrifice of Christ, not all has to be lost, even though we may stumble. But the question is, what are we going to do next? Because we can say, well, I'm glad I'm okay there, and just move on back to life. Or we can humble ourselves before God and actually seek to change, really change. I have an example for us tonight. Numbers chapter 22 is where we're going to be this evening, for pretty much the rest of the time. Numbers chapter 22. And the example that I have is of a man named Balaam. Balaam is an example of the fact that he really doesn't seem to have changed, even though he was given another chance. Balaam was a man who was a diviner, and he was called by Balak, or was sent for by Balak, who was king of a nation called Moab. And the reason why he sent for Balaam is so that he would ask the Lord to curse Israel, because he was afraid of Israel. We'll read Numbers 22 and verse 2. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous. And Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this horde will lick up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt, and behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So this is the message that is delivered to Balaam. Balaam seeks God's answer in this, and God tells him, "You do not go." We read Numbers 22 and verse 12. God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." And so Balaam answers in this way. He refuses to go with them, only to have the messengers from Balak return and ask him again. And this is what we see in Numbers 22 and verse 18. Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God. Now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me." God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, you shall do." So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against them. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now this may seem pretty strange here. I mean, we have God saying that Balaam can go here, and yet we have God angry about that and sending out his angel to oppose him. You know, something that we know for a fact is that God is not double-minded, and so we're not seeing that in God here. And I'm not sure that I have the right answer or the perfect answer, but I have something to think about in this. And that is the fact that Balaam had his answer. He was already told by God, "You do not go with them." He was already told by God, "You cannot curse them because they are a blessed people." He already was given his answer. He already knew his answer. And in his answer to the messengers whenever they come back, it seems like he kind of knows what his answer is going to be. And so why then does he ask them to stay so that he can ask the Lord again? You know, it really seems like Balaam desired to go. In fact, it seems like he was determined to go. And so I believe that God, just like we see with anybody who is determined to sin, permits him to go, but not without consequences. And he's going to show Balaam that he is rejecting him by going. And so he sends the angel, his angel, to go against Balaam, or to contend against Balaam. But Balaam does not see him at this point. Balaam's donkey sees the angel at this point. And when the donkey sees the angel, he rushes out into the field. And Balaam doesn't like that, so he strikes the donkey. The angel returns, or they return to the path, and the angel is there. The donkey then smashes up against the wall, trying to get away from him. Balaam strikes the donkey again. And then we see this in Numbers 22 and verse 26. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me," said the man who was speaking to the donkey. "If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all of your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground, and the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you." So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. After this moment, Balaam does go to Balak, but instead of cursing people of Israel, he does do what God desires him to do, and he blesses them instead. Balaam faced a pretty close call there, to say the least. And Balaam was given another chance here. And I think that this is so important in the life of Balaam, the second chance that we read about here, mostly due to the fact because even though he does do what God wants in this instance, overall, or in the long run of things, it does not have seemed to have changed Balaam. After this point, Israel sins. We see in Numbers 25 and verse 1, "While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to sacrifice to their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. And Israel is punished for this. God sends a plague amongst them. A lot of people die, and after this point, they fight against the Midianites. The Lord sends them against the Midianites. We see in Numbers 31 and verse 8. "They killed the kings of Midian along with the rest of their slain, Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, the five kings of Midian. But this also, they also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword." And why is that? Well, we see that the people of Israel, after defeating the Midianites, they try to save some of the goods, even some of the women. And Moses points this out in Numbers 31 and verse 15. Moses said to them, "Have you spared all the women? Behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, so that the plague was among the congregation of the Lord." Even though Balaam was given a second chance in his life, he still went on to try to cause harm to Israel. Other chances are wonderful. Extra chances that we have in life are such wonderful things, but the thing is that they don't force us to do anything. We're not forced to make the most of those opportunities. Balaam saw the angel of God. Balaam had a donkey speak to him. You would think that if anybody would be forced to change their ways, it would be Balaam, and yet he didn't. He never chose to do something different. And the thing is that nobody is going to force us either to do anything different in our life. Nobody's going to force us to mature as Christians. Nobody's going to force us, you know, to see when we have done something wrong in our lives, and certainly nobody's going to force us to change that. But the wonderful thing is, and it is a wonderful thing, is that we have the opportunity to change it. I think one of my favorite examples is in Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, one of my favorite parables here. "A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, 'Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?' And he answered and said to him, 'Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down.'" I love this parable, not if you are the unproductive tree, but I love the opportunity that is given to it. And you look at this plant, if a plant has all that it needs, you know, water, sunshine, and now fertilizer, how can it not bear fruit? The only way that it cannot bear fruit is if it is not doing anything with what it has. We've been given everything. We've been given the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of our sins, and we have been given eternal life. We have everything that is given to us, all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, if we decide to do something with it. It's available to us, and what a blessing that is. That's the ability that Christ gives us, is that we don't have to be, we have another chance. We don't have to be stuck in the if only. I guess I was, when I was younger, I was riding my bike one time down a hill, and in the middle of riding my bike down the hill, it began to shake, and I tumbled out, and I broke my arm. It was a mess, and I sat there just thinking, if only. I mean, after I got over the shock of it, I was sitting there like, man, if only I hadn't rode my bike today, or if only I hadn't gone down this hill or whatever. The thing is that, you know, I did. There's no going back and changing that. And there are still things that we do that we regret in our life. And things that we say, things that we do, and just, if only I hadn't done that, if only I hadn't said that. You know, we can't change that, but we can do something different. We can change what we do next. And you know, if somebody in this world does not forgive us when we humble ourselves in asking forgiveness for something that we've done, like God's people does, even if somebody else in this world doesn't forgive us, we have forgiveness in God Almighty if we humble ourselves before Him. What a great gift that is. What a blessing. We have the ability to ask, what am I going to do next? And that is a question that really Christians face all the time, because we are given another chance completely. We're giving not even just another chance, we're giving a chance at life. We are given a chance to be pleasing to God. We are given a chance to really and truly change our ways, because we are given a chance through Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice makes up for where we fall short. Because we still do, but He will not fail us if we continue to pursue Him and humble ourselves before Him. We're going to make the most of our opportunity. If you are determined to make the most of your opportunity this evening and to put Christ on in baptism and to change your life tonight is the opportunity to do that. Please come forward and be baptized while we stand and as we sing.